Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank the people that hung on to thank you so much. And I'd like to reiterate how fortunate we are to have this guest on, Paul Fromm, a brother, a very knowledgeable brother, a Christian brother, a righteous brother who's been fighting the fight for you and I and his white people for God since the 60s. I also like to thank Mr. Christian Klein for coming on, who's doing such a marvelous job. I think this is probably one of our top three interviews we've ever had. It's got to be right up there in the top, that's for sure. But we're very blessed to have these two people on. And as promised, we're going to try to do this kind of like, you know, how we do Blood River Radio, how we do a Confederate history almost every week on Third Hour. We want to do a regular German history course, maybe not every week, but it's got to be regular. And I hope it will go as long as there's a Blood River Radio. With that said, we're going to go right back to Mr. Paul Fromm is going to lead us. He's going to bring Mr. Christian Klein back in. We're going to start asking questions. And we'll also, over the period of Chris course, kind of consider it a junior college course, just like we considered Confederate History Week, Confederate History, a kind of like a college course, because after all, Gene was probably he's taught history in school, as well as Mr. Paul Fromm, and as well as Christian Klein. So we have three teachers on Blood River Radio, very well qualified to bring the truth to you people. We're very blessed to have them on. I have no doubt it's God is behind this. With that, bringing us back on the air. Go ahead, Paul. Bring us back on, and I'll start asking my questions whenever you say so. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Christian wanted to elaborate a little bit, so I'll turn it back over to him.
Yeah, okay, that brings me back to what happened in 1945 in East Prussia, when the ships were transporting people across the Baltic Sea to the west, as far as Denmark. Many ended up in Denmark. But so there was a huge exodus of, and these were refugees. These were people fleeing the Soviet army. And this ship, the Wilhelm Gustloff, is actually the greatest disaster in its seafaring history, because it was almost 10,000 people who went on that ship. It was torpedoed by the Russians and it sank. It sank the day after it had left the harbor, and 9,000 people died. 9,000.
And that sinking was deliberate. We know that now, don't we? That the Russian, the commander of the Russian submarine, knew it was a Red Cross ship. It had all sorts of markings on it, and he deliberately torpedoed it, knowing that the people would be thrown into the freezing waters of the Baltic Sea and almost certainly die. This was cold-blooded murder. No, this wasn't accidental.
Well, this may be so. My information is that it was a very foggy day or night, and And yeah, there were disagreements on board. I mean, there's a movie, I think maybe more than one movie is being made about that, where there were disagreements by the officers on the ship whether to turn the lights on and or off. And so there's a lot of information about that. But anyhow, that was not so compared to the Lusitania, and we can talk about why that was sunk, and that was sunk by the German submarines in the First World War, and here we are in the Second World War with civilians, of which there were many ships of the German Marine transporting these people, and 250 of them were sunk. There were two other ships with the Goya and another one. They have 7,000 people on board, and the other one 5,000 people. They were sunk. Most people died. Altogether, 40,000 people died in the transport of the refugees over the Baltic Sea. So this is the other story, and I just wanted to. And then again about our friend Karen Mannion, who refused to enter the ship, and they survived because they took their grandmother along, and they said, without her, we're not going on the ship. And so they stayed behind, and they survived. They ended up in Denmark in a camp, and they were not treated well there, I think. The people, 7,000 children died in those camps. Yeah,
is another fascinating thing about the German community in Toronto. I know this woman that Christian's talking about very well, Karen Mannion, and hers is an amazing story. The father was a soldier, and he was away, and so the grandmother, Karen's mother. Karen, I think, was five at the time, and her little brother walked from East Prussia to, I think it was the port of Danzig, and that's where Wilhelm Gustloff was going to transport German refugees along the Baltic to some port further west. And when Karen got to the, when her mother, and grandmother arrived at to board the ship, they only had three tickets, and the grandmother said, no, you take the young ones, I've lived my life, you go, you take them. And Karen's mother said, no, we came as a family, we will not board. And you know, by actually not having gotten on the Wilhelm Gustloff, they very likely saved their lives, because they would have had a 1 chance out of 10 to survive if they'd been on that ship. So it's amazing the stories of the German people who come to Canada after the Second World War, and most of those stories are never told outside of, you know, very limited circles. So
wow,
so great to have Christian crying on, because when you hear about World War II. Well, back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, most of the movies were about the, the courage mostly and conquest of the American, British, etc. in Europe and in the Pacific. Okay, typical post-war, rah-rah, we did great. We started to get these Holocaust movies or themed movies, and it was a nonstop defamation of the German people. You would never know that any German civilian suffered. When Christian was talking there about people being burned by the tens of thousands in these night bombings. You know, I hear the CNN and other fake news media all the time. Yesterday, the Russians fired missile rockets and drones at this or that city, and 17 people were killed. Well, you know, I'm like President Trump. I don't like this, the killing. But you think of 17. Okay, that's bad. But on one night, in bombings in World War II, maybe 10,000 people died. And in the attack on Dresden on January 13th and 14th, 1945, probably 500,000 people were roasted or blown to smithereens. 500,000. You know,
with that, Paul, we have to go to our first break. We have to go to our first break of the second hour, Paul. We'll come right back to that. That's an excellent point you made. We need to revisit that point as soon as this break is over with. Be right back, folks.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Introducing managed IT services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with managed IT services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some man you just can't reach.
Dear Blood Group Radio family, I'll make this quick. Just to reiterate what we've said, we're going to do the best of our ability to keep this German history going as long as they're a Blood River Radio, a regular, just like we keep Confederate history as a regular. It's a stalwart. It's an absolute core that Blood River Radio is built on, that and fighting against white German genocide, white Christian genocide. Our poster child nowadays is, as you know, South Africa, the Christian genocide going on there. But I'd like to put this, our white people, and Paul said it, Paul, you said it better than I could, why it's so important to keep our white, especially our youth, our young people, to flush the lies out of their minds and hearts and put some pride back into them. So you said it better than I did, Paul, why we're, one of the main reasons we're doing this program on German history. Go ahead, Paul. Explain that further, if you will, brother. You're more eloquent than I am.
Well, you know, everybody should feel proud of their family and of their larger family, their people. I don't mean false pride or pride based on, you know, nonsense stories or exaggerations, but we all have that right. And that has been taken from white people in the last 60 years or so, but with diversity, equity, and inclusion, and anti-racism and so on. But it's been particularly taken from German people. who've been under attack for, well, I would say for over 100 years, but certainly since the Second World War. The war's over. Well, it's questionable who won, but let's say, not to be too controversial, the Allies won. Okay, the Allies won. Hooray, hooray. The Germans lost. Leave it alone. Go back. Let's move on. But the Germans remain under attack. In fact, some of what we're saying here is probably illegal in Germany. I'd like to ask Christian about what he's noticed about the attack on German people. Now 80 years after the war.
I was given quite a few reports of people that were confronted and demonized because of their German heritage, and especially what happened to the children in the school. There were many parents who were very upset about what the kids were experiencing in school, not just by classmates, by their teachers too. And that all happened after the movie Schindler's List, right? My friend Frank Schmidt wrote an article, and he called it Schindler's List, or I think it came from another fellow here, called it Schindler's List, yeah. But that was the propaganda that started, and there was this man here in Toronto, Aaron Stindl, who stood up against that. He was a publisher, and he became very active, and there were so many human rights tribunals. I attended many of those with took many notes. I have about 70 pages of notes from these, and there they came out with a statement that truth was no defense. You cannot use a statement that is true to defend the one who is in front of the judge. Okay, so this is a very interesting development in the society where you suddenly see, and I think it happened in the United States in the Second World War, because from what I have read, there was a very pro-German attitude in the United States before the First World War. And then the propaganda was so strong, emanating from England. They published pictures with atrocities of German soldiers eating babies and spearing the babies and nailing women on the doors. That's what the Russians did. That's what the Soviets did in 1945, when they moved into East Prussia, and they had a great propagandist in the Soviet government, Ilya Ehrenberg, a Jewish guy who had told the Soviet soldiers, kill the Germans. Your day is not done if you have not killed a German. So that's where it came from. And
that was Ilya Ehrenberg, I think.
That's right. Ilya Ehrenberg, yeah.
Repeat that, if you will, because that's a crucial point, Mr. Paul and Mr. Christian. Our people need to know about that, the point. By a matter of fact, there were flyers dropped over the Russian troops, egging the Russian troops on. I may add, especially the Mongol troops that came behind the white Russian shock troops, telling them to rape, kill, if you haven't killed a German today, you have failed. But if you will, Paul, I don't want to interrupt, but that's a crucial, crucial point our people need to know. It never hurts to repeat things. But go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Mr. Christian.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Christian.
Well, that continued here in the society. It spread like wildfire that, the Germans have killed 6 million Jews. And that 6 million seems to be a sacred number because it appeared before the First World War in papers in the USA. And it did a good job in turning people against the Germans. And there was this Ernst Zindel who stood up against it, and he sent a team to Auschwitz where they had a plaque which said that 4 million people were murdered there in gas chambers. And he found that his team found that with probes of the stones of the walls of the so-called gas chambers, that there was none of this poison, cyanide or whatever, that would have killed the people. But they found it in the delousing chambers where the cloth was deloused. They found it there. So that these processes here went on with Ernst Zindel, started in 1985, and they were still going in 2005, and the man was imprisoned here for 2 years. He ended up in prison. Then he went, and when he came out of there, he went to the United States, and they put him in chains over there, sent him back to. Well, no, I'm sorry. He ended up in prison after he had been deported again from the U.S. to Canada. And Paul, you did the big demonstration there in front of the prison.
And, yeah, Ernst Zindel was deported from the United States under very, very shadowy circumstances. He was married to an American citizen, Ingrid Rimland. He, of course, had never committed a crime in the United States, and on the strangest of technical reasons, he was said to have missed an interview and was picked up at the handcuffs snapped on him, and he was deported back to Canada. Now, Canada has a very liberal immigration policy, or very, well, it's just an open border practically. And Ernst had been a citizen, he'd been a landed immigrant since 1958. And now we're talking now of 2003. And they never committed any crime in Canada, paid his taxes, and been a successful businessman and employer and so on. And Jewish pressure mounted, and the cabinet decided that the immigration law had been changed, and if you were not a citizen, and Ernst was not, he was just a landed immigrant, you could be deported if you were a threat to national security, whatever that is. Anyway, after a two-year battle, Ernst was deported. He was kept in solitary confinement, denied some medical attention, and they were sent to Germany where he was jailed for 5 years.
We have to go to a bottom of the hour break, which will be a five-minute break. It's longer than most of them, so get plenty of time to use the restroom, get coffee, whatever. People will be right back. To get back to the spellbinding interview. Be right back, folks.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Next week, House lawmakers will begin work on legislation dealing with more than $9 billion in federal spending cuts. These are primarily the departments and programs cut by DOGE. Former Secretary of the U.S. Senate Kelly Johnston explains how it works.
That's where the administration sends a bill to Congress saying, I know you already appropriated this money. We've met the purposes. We found all this money we don't need anymore when we want to rescind it. And over a certain level, Congress has to either it can vote up or down on that.
Johnston was interviewed on the Salem Radio Network. Also at townhall.com, Elon Musk is leaving the Trump administration.
The billionaire entrepreneur posted about his decision on his social media website, X. He said that as his scheduled time as a special government employee comes to an end, he'd like to thank President Donald Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. Musk's departure comes one day after he criticized the centerpiece of Trump's legislative agenda, saying he was disappointed by what the president calls his big, beautiful bill. I'm Haya Pinchwani.
Filings for U.S. jobless aid jumped last week, but American workers broadly remain secure in their jobs despite economic uncertainty over global trade. Jobless benefits applications rose by 14,000 to 240,000 for the week ending May 24th, according to the Labor Department. The FBI now offering a reward of up to $10,000 for information leading to Grant Hardin's arrest. He's a former police chief wanted for murder who's now on the run in the Ozark Mountains. And it's that time of year again, Tropical Storm Alvin, forming in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of western Mexico. On Wall Street, stocks have turned higher. The Dow is ahead 10 points now. The NASDAQ composite up 115. More at townhall.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, host of The Mike Gallagher Show here. And when it comes to mortgages, I only trust the team that's helped me and my family more than once, Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. These guys are friends, believers. They built a company on biblical values that actually puts you first. In today's economy, with everything costing more, you need a lender who can help you make smart, strategic moves when it comes to real estate. Need cash for home improvements? Thinking about a HELOC or a refi to consolidate debt? Well, Fellowship Home Loans can help you do it faster and for less. Why? Because they're a direct lender, not a broker. No middleman. No unnecessary fees. That means fewer hoops, less waiting, and real answers from real people who care. Whether you're buying, selling, refinancing, or just exploring your options, Fellowship Home Loans will tailor everything to your unique needs. Get started at fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
You Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for hanging on. I'm so excited about this this program. They're going to allow me to ask a few questions. I don't want to interrupt the narrative too much, but I'm going to ask some. There's been a million questions anybody could ask just for a few short time these gentlemen have been on. And just to reiterate what I say, this is going to be as long as we can do it, as long as we have the people coming on, the guests, Blood River Radio is going to continue with not just Confederate history, but with German history. And you could lump those two histories together and call it white history, white Christian history. That's what we're doing. And along with fighting against, that's part of our program of fighting against global white genocide. That program has been ongoing since the Garden of Eden, but it's really picked up speed the past 150 years. And really, it's like almost an exponential progression is picking up so much speed. Earlier on, in the last hour, Mr. Klein made the remark. We were talking about how, I think I said something about how the German people had been hated since even before the World War I, which, and we had said, sometimes I can't remember what the questions of the things I've asked, but there was an immense amount of anti-German propaganda circulated probably in Canada and especially the United States well in advance of World War I. I think it was proven, it could be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, that war was planned. I'm setting the question up with this statement. The war had been planned for years in advance for many, many reasons, but for some of the main reasons, the German people were kicking the living hell out of the rest of the world, especially Britain. At that time, prior to the First World War, the United Kingdom, the British, they had their empire, even advanced of the American empire nowadays. And they were being threatened in every area, in science, in engineering, in manufacturing, in all types of advancements in chemistry and mathematics. And they were being outpaced in trade, world trade. The Germans were really coming out. They were going to supersede the Brits. People like the Winston Churchill, may he rest in hell, people like him knew, and they were jealous and hated the German people for that. That's why they brought it on. And as we all know, Winston Churchill's mother was a Jew. It's always the same thing. Always the same people all the time. Anyway, but the question I have, and I was talking about how the hatred of the German people was just manifest in every way you can turn. In the print, radio print, newspapers, society, the German hatred was everywhere. And Mr. Christian made the astute and true remark. That hatred now is being manifest against the Russian people. They were also white. And with that question, with that comment, Mr. Klein, since you said that, would you say that this hatred of the German people right now, especially by the European Union, the hatred of the white German people, the white Russian people, and here in the United States, with this stalwart conservative, the Jew Donald Trump, who has allowed, I gotta hurry and make this quick. Donald Trump is pushing these laws. I see where the ADL has just come out, and they're wanting to make it illegal to be able to have pro Palestinian propaganda, anti Jewish propaganda, anti Israeli propaganda. You can't say that. It's going to be a crime. They're wanting to do that. But anyway, that's kind of an aside. But is that the reason that the world powers, the same old suspects that control, they've got the United States by the testicles, as they do by the European Union. Is that why the new whipping boy, the new object of our hatred is Russia. Is it the same for the same reasons it was Germany in First World War, Second World War, Mr. Klein? What's your opinion on that, Mr. Klein?
Well, yes, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, Germany. After the Second World War, it was decreed that Germany was not allowed to build any weapons. The war industry had to be scaled down. But now they're back. They're actually arming and talking openly about Russia being the enemy. And now comes the reply from the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, from one of those, that officially Russia is now at war with the European Union. And this should concern us all very much. And maybe I should mention that the present government in Germany, which started out with a party some years ago, which was called the Greens, an environmental party, that where the foreign minister Joschka Fischer said, if there is a war, nobody will go there anymore. No, it's just they have turned around. They have developed into a war party, and this is just unbelievable. And this is just unbelievable, and it is goes right along with the betrayal of the present government of the German history. They have betrayed the German history altogether. Whatever is a patriot is being pointed out as being a neo-Nazi, and this is a terrible development, which concerns me an awful lot, because I have family still living in Germany. From Russia just came the announcement that they would send rockets into the place in Bavaria in Germany where these nuclear weapons are being stored. That's scary.
That leads to another part two of this question. And Monica Schaefer has been on the show several times and pointed out the fact, and I think the brother Paul has too, that Germany has never regained its independence since the Second World War. It's considered, for lack of a better description on my part, an area of occupation of governance by other powers, the allies, so to speak, probably mainly the United States. Is there any remembrance of the war and why, and the real reasons why it was caused in the minds of the German people, and especially for the young people? Mr. Klein, is there any desire, an innate, God-given desire, on a seed, so to speak, sprouting in the hearts of the German youth, if there's blood and soil being resurrected, are they becoming more aware of who they really are? The German youth, are they really aware and proud of their German history and aware of the lies? And do they have any self-determination, any desire to throw off the yoke of the present oppressors, the British and the Americans, to throw them off, to regain their independence and kick out the Jew and to kick out the people that hate Germany? I guess I should boil this down. Are they aware of the German youth? Are they aware of who they are, where they came from? Are they proud of that? And do they want to regain the glory that Germany has been in the past? Is there any desire for that, especially in the young people Mr. Christian?
I'm afraid not. The memory, there's hardly any memory of the Second World War. What they have been taught in school and history is the Jewish view of the so-called Holocaust. And so if there is going to be a reawakening for a national feeling, it can only come through the personal experience of being confronted by foreign religions, which are now gaining more and more dominance in Germany, such as Islam. And, Germany has declared its unwavering assistance to Israel, just as the United States have done. And that is a big problem. I mean, what is going on in Gaza is just...
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net. In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this new found freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
You're the Blood River Radio audience. I hope you are on fire as well as I am. If my blood is really stirred up. Brother Paul just put the dagger into the heart of the vampire with this question right here. And I'm going to re-answer. I'm going to ask Mr. Paul the question. And then Mr. Christian can reiterate. Paul, you said something great. You said, very observant of you, Gaza, you said, reminds you of some of the devastation that took place in Germany at the end of the war in 1945 when there was just rampant, I was no doubt about it, it was a white genocide in Germany. There's also a genocide going on in Gaza and in Palestine. And I'd like to point this out. There's many, many Christians in Gaza. We hear these people that hate Muslims. I have no love for them. But we have many people, oh, they're just Muslims. There's a lot of Christians over there. Paul, you made a remark about that. And I'll say this. If you notice, hardly anybody has ever even heard about what happened in Dresden. And Dresden was just one city in Germany. It was wiped out with firebombs and white phosphorus, intentionally tried to exterminate the German people. The same thing, maybe not as on a wild scale, not with 2,000-3,000 bombers one time in Gaza, but pretty much the same thing, if nothing else, on a scaled-down basis, a scaled-down version, is going on in Gaza with extermination there by Muslims, Christians, Arabs, and nary a word in the United States. If you in the largest, the number one school in the United, in the world in medicine, Harvard University, number one in research, being shut down by His Majesty the dictatorship, Trump, taking their money away from them because they allow anti-Israel protests. We're being just, Paul, just as Dresden, probably not one child in the United States in high school in the United States out of 10,000 has even heard of what happened in the firebombing in Dresden. Paul, draw the comparisons between modern-day Gaza and Dresden. You brought that up. Well, you did a great job, Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, when I see the pictures of Gaza today, the absolutely pulverized buildings, the children, you know, blown to pieces, you know, in their parents' arms, hospitals, schools attacked. It reminds me of the all-out warfare that was inflicted on Germany, and about which we hear almost nothing today. The devastation that was caused, and we're not talking about military devastation, you know, blowing up ships or stores of ammunition or military targets. The absolute war on civilians. And Winston Churchill, when he promoted and authorized the bombing of Dresden, said something that made a remark that he wanted to baste the Germans. That I get the idea, though the words don't quite line up. Baste is to if you've got a chicken in the oven, you will put some oil or drippings on it to keep the skin tender. But anyway, the sense, though, or the intent is to absolutely destroy them. And I see that that's what's going on in Gaza. That's why I say it is not absolutely not our struggle. I do not believe the West should be involved at all and should not be promoting the great devastators, and that's the Israelis. But I think it ought to be understood that Mr. Klein has for years run on the as close to as possible to the 13th or 14th of February, a commemoration where we see a movie or hear some speakers. But remember, see, if we lose the memory of what's happened, we become zombies, and that's why education of our people throughout the European world, no matter what our ethnicity, why education about our history is so important. I don't give a flying fig about the tribal history of the Jews. They want to go on about Adolf Hitler. Well, that's their history. I don't care. It's not mine. It's not my people. We should be talking about our people, and that's why I'm so happy to have Christian Klein on, because he's done so very much for the German people who came to Canada after the Second World War. How long have you been running these Dresden memorials?
Let me ask you a quick question. I'm going to read this statement real quick, like Mr. Christian. I'm going to ask Mr. Christian. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, also known as the Church of the Resurrection, is a 4th century church in the Christian quarter of the Old City of Jerusalem. The church is the seat of the Greek Orthodox Patriarch in Jerusalem. It's some considered as the holiest site of all in Christianity. It's an important pilgrimage site for Christians since the 4th century. Now, that statement, on Easter Sunday this year, Jewish army militia troops and Jewish civilians attacked Christians attempting to get to that most holy, the Church of the Resurrection, the most holy site in all of Christianity. To attack them prevented them from entering that church. The same thing happened in Kiev with the, what's his name there? Vladimir, the guy who's the head of Kiev. Yeah, the same thing happened. Why, for God's sakes, Mr. Klein and Paul, why, dear God, have we not heard one peep from the so-called Christian community, especially in the United States, especially these sellout, race traitor Southern Baptists? Why, for God's sakes, have we not heard one era, one peep of protest? Is it because they are afraid? Are they afraid for what the Bible says, for fear of the Jew? Why, dear God, Mr. Christian, why have we not heard any protest about that?
Well, exactly the same reason that we had here last Sunday, a march where it was claimed that there were 50,000 people marching in support of Israel. And they were waving their Jewish flags, and they were complaining about the fact that the people of the government, the mayor, did not march with them. The people in the city government were not taking part in that. So it is the pressure that we are experiencing from this group of people. And when you want to make a comparison between Dresden and Gaza, well, yeah, that's exactly appropriate, because the same kind of people were behind those bombardments, like the advisor of Churchill by the name of Lindemann. On the Soviet side, we already mentioned Ilya Ehrenberg, and when the war ended, there was a man of the British propaganda who spoke to a German professor by the name of Grimm about how they had won the Second World War through propaganda. So you see what's happening. Okay?
Yes. Paul, back to you, brother.
Yes, I was going to ask a question. For how many years have you been holding these Dresden memorials?
We started in, I think, in around 2001. It was started by a man, by a survivor of the German army, Karl Rupert. He started it, and when he died, I continued with that. So I think it was 2001 when we started it.
It's always a very moving time when you realize that in the propaganda we have had since the Second World War, we were the good guys, and that generation was called the Great Generation, and they were very righteous because they've gone off and fought Hitler. And when you see what was done, and when you remember that Germany didn't attack the United States, Germany didn't attack Canada. It was, in fact, Britain that declared war on Germany. When you line up a few simple facts, you begin to see that you've been badly misled. You're also involved in a historical society. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Paul, we've run completely out of time, brother. This has been probably the best interview we've ever done. Paul, I'll get right back to you, and Mr. Christian, I'll get right back to you. We have another hour. We're bringing Gene Andrews on. He's going to take up where y'all left off, comparing the Southern Christians to the German Christians. And with that, I'll contact you, Paul and Christian, as soon as this show's over, no later than a day or two. I want to get y'all back on. So thank y'all for coming on. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been a dynamite series, and we're transitioning to the third hour. Gene's going to pick the torch up and keep carrying on, comparing the Confederacy with the German history after the war. Be right back, folks. 5-minute break.